Before we start, let me just run through what resolutions do. This is a convention, not a conference. And for those of you who are wondering why that makes a difference, a convention actually makes decisions. The way that the National Federation of Blind is governed is by its membership. In the state of Illinois, we have everyone who's a active member has the right to vote on the floor, to bring forth resolutions, and to ask for any other action that they want to do so. The Resolutions Committee is tasked with recommending either do pass or recommending do not pass to the convention as a whole. The convention as a whole will be everyone who's present here tomorrow. We have 125 people pre-registered. My best estimate is that we'll end up with about 140 total. I think almost everyone pre-registered. So if the committee thinks a resolution is a good idea, then the committee will send a recommendation to the committee or to the convention to do pass. If the committee thinks a resolution is not such a great idea, then the recommendation from the committee should be do not pass. The committee is not the final arbiter. Even if a resolution gets a recommendation of do not pass from this committee, a proponent may get it on the convention floor, but they need to approach a percentage of the board of directors, and that percentage needs to recommend to the president that that resolution be heard. So it would take a lot more lobbying, but if you feel strongly enough about something that gets a do not recommend, then go ahead and bring it before the convention simply by following the other procedures. Does anybody have any questions about what we're going to do?
Madam Chairman?
Dave?
Actually, it's a little more of a statement than a question, but I believe it's three board members.
Yes, it is three. Three of the 11 state board members would need to come to the president and say, look, I think that's good to find out now. Better than it when we're singing later, right? It is three that you need. For the rest of today, what's going to happen is after resolutions, there's a scholarship by invitation dinner only. That will take place at 5 o'clock. I can't remember. I think it's in F, Debbie?
E.
A? Okay. No, E. Okay, it's in the agenda, but I couldn't remember. And then you need to, at some point, pick up your registration packets, which registration will be open from 5 to 7. And then please join us for IAB's Idol, which is a fundraiser for our student chapter. Your first ticket gets you your first song, or maybe put you through your first song if you sing like I do. And then it's $5 for each one after that. Now, do we have Amy Bosco yet? All right, we're going to go ahead and go forward. If nobody has any questions, then I'm going to go ahead and get started. I've asked Debbie Stein to read the resolutions for us. She'll read one. I'll look for a motion, discussion, and then we'll take a vote. We have three resolutions this time around. I don't expect any of them to be controversial, but I've been wrong before. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I think I need to adjust
this. Now let's make sure we got a good pickup.
How's that?
That's fine.
Can you hear me
good.
Okay? Okay. If I kind of lean forward here. Okay. Resolution 2016-01. Commending Horizons for the Blind for its ongoing commitment to Braille availability, usage, and literacy. Whereas, for nearly 40 years, Horizons for the Blind has improved non-visual information access to blind persons by producing materials in Braille and in raised formats, and whereas examples include raised representations of animals as part of making the museum experience more accessible, available, and meaningful to blind patrons, and whereas Horizons for the Blind continues producing many materials in Braille, including restaurant menus, newsletters for other organizations, cookbooks, materials of general interest, bank statements, utility bills, and programs for performances at some of Chicago's world-class fine arts institutions, and whereas this ongoing work affirms the efficacy of communication in Braille and the importance of Braille literacy. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this 29th day of October 2016 in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization commend Horizons for the Blind for its ongoing commitment to Braille usage and literacy. And be it further resolved that this organization continue promoting the importance and efficacy of Braille and the literacy it affords blind people generally.
I would point out that Horizons is also exhibiting at this convention, and I know I heard them outside this room before I came in. Do I have a motion on the resolution?
Moved.
I have a motion by Steve, and the first second I heard was Dave. Do I have discussion, questions? Okay, I think it's very well written. By the way, I thank the committee. We went through a lot of drafts on one or two of these resolutions, and I appreciate the committee's patience, and I very much appreciate the work that goes in before they come to convention, because that's why they look good when they come here. They're already cleaned up if they came to us and need changes. All right, I'm going to call the question. Those in favor of recommending do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those against, say nay. All right, we're going to recommend do pass on resolution 2016-01. Let's hear 02.
Resolution 2016-02, regarding the failure of the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services to facilitate informed choice and participation in alternative adjustment to blindness training programs. Whereas, the National Federation of the Blind knows that low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams, and to that end, has established adjustment to blindness centers in Colorado, Louisiana, and Minnesota, which equipped blind students for success through a combination of effective training in the use of alternative techniques that don't require vision, and positive messages and examples of the safety, reliability, and efficiency of those techniques. And whereas the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services Bureau of Blind Services, BBS, operates a counselor customer-based model through its Center for Rehabilitation and Education, which allows those seeking services to select from among classes and activities they believe will enhance their ability to live independently. And whereas applicable federal regulations and statements on the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation website state that ORS works in partnership with people with disabilities and their families to assist them in making informed choices to achieve full community participation through rehabilitation, employment, education, and independent living opportunities. And whereas the BBS program, while convenient for Illinoisans who don't wish to leave Illinois or their families for training and less challenging for those doubting their abilities as blind people, provides adjustment to blindness training that is much more limited in scope and effectiveness than that available outside Illinois. And whereas recognizing the effectiveness of training centers operated by the NFB in accord with our philosophy of high expectations, the confidence and success of those graduates from such centers, and the comparably limited scope and effectiveness of training available in Illinois, many blind Illinoisans have sought training through the above-mentioned NFB-operated centers. And whereas, despite the diligence and timeliness of applications to participate in alternative training programs outside Illinois, BBS delays in rendering decisions have, in all known instances, extended beyond the program application deadlines and prevented their participation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this 30th day of October 2016 in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization strongly insists the Bureau of Blind Services comply with the letter and spirit of regulations mandating that customers receive information regarding alternatives to the training available in Illinois and appropriately assist in the process of applying for such training, and that decisions on said applications be made in a timely manner. And be it further resolved that this organization, through all available means, continue to assist customers in known instances where informed choice is denied or rendered ineffective through unreasonable delays. And be it further resolved that this organization discuss with BBS any guidelines that may exist in its determinations as to when or whether a customer's informed choice for training outside Illinois will be honored.
Can somebody pull that door shut for me? I don't know if I'm the only one that finds that distracting, but thank you. Now, do I have a motion on this one?
So moved.
It's been moved. I presume that we recommend do pass. Can I get a second?
Second. I wouldn't do a second because I did last time.
All right.
Yeah, right.
So Steve moved, and I caught 2 seconds on my left. I think Bill gets credit for that one. The concern here is, obviously, that Icree Wood, which is our main training center in Illinois, is not in keeping with philosophy that we believe works best, which is to push people beyond what they know they can do, especially when people are newly blinded. They don't think they can do much of anything. I know when I first lost my vision, I didn't think I'd be able to do what I do now. And there's no way you could without proper training. The best example of why we're concerned about Icree Wood is that they still don't have internet access. I'm not sure how you expect to give good technology training to anyone who's going to enter the work world without teaching them hands-on how to use the internet. We don't even have dial-up service, let alone decent, you know, network service. So, and that's just one example. And not to bash Icree Wood, because I think for some people that's their preferred training. But when people do want to go out of state and do want to get training that's more demanding, NFB centers, for example, do sleep shade training so that if you're like me and you're going to lose more vision, you learn to function non-visually, and then when it's more convenient to use the residual vision, that's fine. But later on, as you lose the residual vision, you can still function. And we expect a lot. Our training centers do 3 drops, for example, when you're learning to travel. We do have internet access. we do. Oh, did we? Okay. Yeah, Luke could speak to this better than I can. But the basic expectations are just totally different. And we need to be able to get people to more demanding centers when they want it and when it's appropriate because of their choice. And we haven't been able to do that now for a fair amount of time. I'm sure that somewhere in Illinois somebody's been sent out of state, but we can't find anybody that's been sent out recently. And we do know of a number of people who've asked in a timely manner and had, through various mechanisms, their applications denied, sometimes just because they weren't told they were missing paperwork until after the deadline, sometimes just out and out denied. So it's very concerning at this point. And this resolution, I personally think, is very well crafted. The committee worked hard on this one. So does anybody have any questions or further discussion, questions, concerns?
Yes, not a question, but a comment.
And that's Bill Reif.
This is Bill Reif. And you know, we've had concerns about the quality of training at, you know, through Illinois programs, whether it's through the centers, the ICRE or in the field, we still are advocates for improving services to blind people in Illinois, whether they receive their training in state or out of state. We do now have a new director that was recently appointed, and we have every reason to believe that he shares our commitment in that matter. But when you're head of a bureaucracy, it's like turning a ship. You can't just decide, well, no, now we're going this direction. There's a lot of things that need to be done on the administrative level. But be that as it may, people who want to move forward, who want to have the best training opportunities when they need that training, can't wait 10 years, shouldn't have to wait 5 years for the quality of services in Illinois to change. And plus we have the additional constraints that affect all of state government in Illinois, the budget situations and that. But in any event, the best way forward for those people in a position to benefit and with the willingness to take on a tough challenge is to avail themselves of the training available outside Illinois, as federal regulations mandate. And so, unless or until, services more in keeping with, the high standards and with our philosophy are available in Illinois. And, we take no great pride in thinking that the only place to get good services is outside of Illinois, or even, through an NFB operated center. But until things change, and until our ultimate dream, is to someday have a separate department that understands, the needs and aspirations of blind people more specifically. But until then, alternative training, such as is available through our centers, is the best way forward for those in a position to benefit.
And I would just add that at least one of the cases where someone couldn't seek out-of-state training, they weren't attempting to go to an NFB center. So if we could get Department of Rehab Services, Bureau of Blind Services, which is within DRS, which is within Human Services, which is part of the problem, but if we could get Bureau of Blind Services to do out-of-state training, it wouldn't just be to NFB centers. There are other places. There's this case I'm thinking of. The student wanted to go to a summer program at BISM. I can't remember what BISM stands for. Business Blind Industries and Services of Maryland. All right. Now, BISM is a more demanding center than ICRE Wood, and that's part of the reason the student wanted to go there. And that was one of the ones where they waited long enough that the deadline had passed. So this just didn't happen. Now, this is a student. So by the time you don't go in one summer, you get to the next summer, and it's probably not, you're not at the same place in your life, you're not at the same place in your training, and you've lost that opportunity, probably for good. Yes, and by the way, I'm going to remind all these Federationists who are in the room that I know who I am. If you say your name, please, Kathy Randall, because I happen to know some of your voices. But let's teach all these new people our adaptive techniques, and one of the easiest is to say your name when you got to want my attention. Thank you, Kathy. Go ahead. I'm razzing you. I know Kathy well enough to give her a hard time.
Byron? I guess, okay. I had the experience of attending both iCreewood for 4 months and CCB. I paid my own way to CCB in the summer of 1990 because it was the only way I was going to get there, and it was fabulous. It was just fabulous. And there was no comparison. CCB was absolutely boot camp for the blind. It was wonderful.
Well, and speak to that, Kathy.
I
you mean on Braille,
so much.
Like what's really different?
Well, I was petrified of traveling, Patty. Mm-hmm. I'm much better than I was. I could still be a lot better than I am at everything. But the technical rock climbing was really tough. I liked it. It scared me to death. But it sure made crossing those wide boulevards much easier. The camaraderie, the business classes, just the whole philosophy, Braille, Tom Anderson, Diane McGeorge, all these wonderful people, Chip Johnson, Kimberly Johnson later, all these lovely people that worked there and really pushed you, really, really pushed you. I loved it. It was wonderful. I wish we could help everybody get to a center and help everybody fund getting to a center. It's a life-changing experience. Thank you so much.
This has been going on a long time. The first year that I was president in Illinois, and I'm not even president anymore, but the first year, which I think puts us back 10 years, we invited the director of iCreewood to our convention. And he flat out told us and said that it wouldn't change, that iCreewood was only going to teach people what they wanted to learn. Well, the problem with that is that a lot of blind people buy into society's expectations for us, which you got to admit are pretty darn low. So if you simply teach us what we want to learn, for some people that doesn't amount to much more than basket weaving because we just don't think we're capable, especially if you haven't had good mentoring, if you haven't had exposure to blind role models who are working, who have kids, who are married, who travel, who do all the stuff that we know blind people can do. Yes, Byron, please.
Hi. Okay, so when I was at iCreewood, I honestly think the reason why I didn't finish Braille, I got through grade one and part of grade two, I think the reason why when I went to iCreewood and didn't finish Braille all the way through is because I caused trouble, and they wanted me out. So I graduated in one term because I am an amazing example of a blind individual. I wanted to learn things like, hey, we've got all this grass out in front. I bet you guys probably hire landscapers to mow that lawn. Do we have a lawnmower here? Can you teach me how to mow a lawn? Oh, we don't do that here. Okay, well, you know, how about showing me how to drill holes in the wall? Like we could get a piece of plywood with sheet, you know, the dry wall or whatever. Show me how to drill a hole in the wall so I can run cables through the wall. Oh, we don't do that, but we could teach you how to make a CD rack. CDs don't get used anymore. I don't have any CDs. They're all on my computer. So anyway, I'm very disgusted with iCreewood, very vocal about it, and I think we should do whatever we can to get better services here in the state.
And Byron, you know, when you first went to iCreewood, you went into it with a really open mind. You and I had a conversation about this, and you said, I'm going in, and I'm going to see for myself. Steve.
Speaking of drilling holes, I went when they had a summer program for youth, upper grade elementary school, maybe going into high school. And my instructor showed me how to run a drill press, and it wasn't anything modified for blind people. And, you know, I asked him, he handed me some old parts from a piano. He says, go drill some holes in these things. You sure you don't want to, you know, we don't want to destroy them? He says, go ahead and do it. So he's way across the room from me, and he tells me, if you respect the tools will respect you. Then we talked about taking equipment apart and repairing it. And he said, when you do that, keep your parts in order so that you can put it back together. He had expectations of me that I had no idea about because I was still a kid. But he knew that someday I would become a blind adult, and I would need to know how to function in the world in terms of, you know, dressing well, having good personal hygiene, having good skills about things mechanical and electrical and such and so forth. And more recently, we have someone in the Chicago chapter whose eyesight is no more. And yet, when he had his training, they didn't do sleep shade at ICRI the way we do at the NFB centers. And so, you know, we're talking about people's lives here, and we need to do better with services for the blind in this state. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Denise, I'm sorry. I meant to go to you first.
Where are you, Denise? Oh, I'm here, Robert. I'm sorry. There
you go. And by the way, we are streaming, which is why we make sure people get a mic. And while I'm on the subject of the internet, our hashtag for this weekend is NFBI16, no spaces, NFBI16. Please come follow us on Twitter. We're NFBI because we were the first state that started with an I that went on Twitter. You're good for us. And Facebook, we're National Federation of the Blind of Illinois.
I am going to ask this committee to pass this resolution. We need to make sure that everyone in our state, including our governor, our two United States senators, all of our representatives, all of our state senators and representatives know that we are serious about proper blindness training. Within just the last year, and probably within the 2 years that I have been state president, we have an advocacy committee here. The calls that I get frequently and the most often are those having to do with, I can't get proper training from BBS. I can't get orientation and mobility. I can't get an opportunity to get the proper Braille instruction. I can't get computer training. They won't let me go to Blind Inc., even though I've already been to ICREWood. They won't let me go to BISM, and I'm trying to get myself together to become employable and to make sure that I have the skills needed before I go out in the job market. We do have a new BBS director. We have high hopes of being able to deal with him, but we can't keep living on promises. The fact that ICRI does not have any internet at this late date is shameful. And we, as the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, need to speak to the woeful, inadequate services that blind people in this state are receiving.
Absolutely. Can I get a motion?
So move to pass.
Dave moves.
Actually, we've already had.
You're right.
I'm mixed up.
Took us a while. We got a motion and a second. I'm going to call the question. Those in favor of recommending do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. All right, this committee will recommend do pass to our convention. Debbie, are you ready with 03?
I just lost it. Hold on 1 second.
Well, that's because we went on that discussion for a bit. But it's I think that's probably the most important thing that we can do in Illinois right now,
yes.
Honestly.
Sure is.
And John Gordon will be with us tomorrow. The new director that we spoke of will be here tomorrow.
Okay, resolution 2016-03 regarding Aim High. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind endeavors always to achieve full inclusion of blind people in the experience, benefits, and opportunities to contribute through higher education, and whereas we have sought legislation to that end by inclusive collaboration with stakeholders, including the Association of American Publishers, the American Council on Education, EduCause, which is a restricted trademark, the Software and Information Industry Association, and of course, organizations who democratically represent the print disabled. And whereas the solution to more fully realize the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act and Rehabilitation Act as applied to electronic accessibility has been arrived at through input and negotiation of these stakeholders, along with the NFB, in the form of the Accessibility Instructional Materials in Higher Education, AIM High, or spelled two different ways, AIM High Act, authorizing a purpose-based commission having representation from stakeholders in order to craft optional guidelines for higher ed institutions. And whereas Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee understands the validity, necessity, and justice of this act, he committed to introduce AIM High to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, be it resolved this 30th day of October 2016 that this Illinois affiliate, in solidarity with our national organization, further commend Congressman Rowe's commitment to introduce the AIM High bill into Congress, and furthermore, to urge the Illinois members of Congress to consider and grant a floor vote to pass this bill, which would better afford the blind and print disabled the equal right of access to higher education than is experienced today.
Can I get a motion?
So move.
Dave moves.
Second.
Bill seconds. All right. This one needs a little elaboration because it's a little more complicated in terms of what we're doing legislatively. First of all, this is a federal bill. Our students have asked us to recommend do pass on this resolution, and frankly, I'm in favor of the resolution. What the federal bill will do, if we can get it passed, which it looks like we're getting closer and closer to, is set up voluntary guidelines. But the nice thing about the guidelines, because you say, well, that's meaningless. Well, they won't be meaningless because the voluntary guidelines, if somebody follows them, if a university or college follows the voluntary guidelines, then they have a safe harbor from suits based on what they did in terms of access to instructional materials. That gets us past the fact that the education lobby is really not going to tolerate a mandate here, and we probably couldn't get that passed, practically speaking, but gets us somewhere where most universities are going to want to avail themselves of a safe harbor if they can to avoid lawsuits. And many universities are starting to want to do the right thing on their own. We just settled a suit out in Wichita, Kansas, against a university. We just settled one out of Ohio. That young lady, name is Aaliyah Dudley. She's allowed us to make her whole story public. She was studying to be a large animal veterinarian. And her university just did not accommodate her in the way of instructional materials in any way, shape, or form. We've had lawsuits against Miami University. There's got to be a way to do this that doesn't involve suing one by one by one every university that decides they don't want to accommodate people who are print disabled. And we keep saying people are print disabled on this one because it doesn't just apply to us. This would apply to people who have dyslexia. It applies to people who can't turn a page. It applies to anyone who has any disability that relates to their ability to read print over long periods of time, read standard print. It's a good law, and we ought to get Illinois to support it. So do we have questions, concerns?
I have a comment.
Yes, and give me your name, please.
Amy.
Amy, yes. Yeah, you're okay. I did it last year. Somebody does it every year, runs into our mic booms.
I actually personally knew another student, and she was trying to go and get her education at a local university, and she couldn't get her assignments in Braille or electronically, and it became such a problem that she had to drop out of her second semester and start over the next year at a completely different university. So I think that this is a really great thing that we should pass.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that story all over the country because I travel since I work for a national office and I serve as a national rep at other conventions. You know, it breaks my heart every time I hear it. Why should these young people have to stop and start over? I mean, not to mention the fact that that involves a lot of money. Not, you know, anguish, but money too. Anybody else?
David Meyer.
Dave.
Okay, this may be picking at the nits a little bit, but with the resolve, I didn't hear, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois and Convention Assembled, does that have to be added?
I think Debbie tries to skip it, just keep it shorter. It will be there when it gets passed, it gets sent out to anybody.
Okay.
And the date that we actually pass it will also be there.
Right.
That's a technical point.
It is, and yeah. I guess say I was maybe Appreciate picking it. At the nits a little.
Dave, pick at the nits?
I don't know. I actually edited into the Braille copies.
Yeah, probably so.
Just as bad.
All right. Anybody else? Those in favor of recommending do pass, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. I do want to thank everyone who served on the committee this year. There were quite a few emails that went back and forth, and a lot of work pretty much the last couple weeks went into these to bring them to you in a form that was both what we thought ought to be put forward and easily read. These will get passed out. Our president will make sure of that. She always does. They'll go to legislators or go to the appropriate officials. Does anybody have any questions before I look for a motion to adjourn? Or Denise, do you have any announcements that you want to make?
I have one comment.
Bill?
I do have with me 15 Braille copies of the resolutions. If anybody wants to look through them or whatever, just to have them, before they are actually voted on, on Sunday. So.
Actually, Bill, these may get voted on tomorrow. Depends on what kind of time and what happens
okay.
in the session. So.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants a Braille copy, see me.
And thank you for Brailing all that stuff, including the agendas.
I do have a couple of announcements. For those of you who are serving on the scholarship dinner and have been invited to be in that dinner, it starts at 5 p.m., thank you. The room I was told is E, so that's along this corridor. Go back the way you came. There are Braille markings on it, on the rooms. If you are looking to join our at-large chapter in their little get-together, please see Linda Hendel in room 568.
After paying me your $10 at the registration table.
Yes, she is a stickler when it comes to money.
We want our money.
Yes. And then after that, please come to IAB's Idol, display your talent. This is for our students, even those of us like me who don't have any talent, we're going to display it anyway.
We'll just display our lack of singing ability. All right. If nobody has any questions, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I got a move in a second. Those in favor say aye.
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 All right, registration will open as soon as I get it open. It'll be right outside the door. I'll bet my husband's already got it set up. I don't know. It depends on what the punch got it going or not.